Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 139, Gleaning Gold, The Value of Discipleship. Guest minister Sarah Velasquez delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on August 2nd, 2020.
And today we have a special guest speaker. Her name is Sarah. A few years ago, the Lord brought Sarah to this house, and she's become our third daughter, sort of. Because God has put a special relationship with us as the years have come. We love her heart for missions and her heart for discipleship. And she's been a really, really big blessing, I know, not just to us, but to many of you as well. And so we're proud of the anointing that God has placed in her life to teach and to minister, and the way he's raising her up to pour into the lives of others. So today, she has a special message as she's speaking to you about discipleship, and so we welcome her today to give us what God has given her. So God bless you, Sarah, as you minister.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Good morning. Okay. I guess it's almost afternoon. Okay. Y'all doing all right? I sound like I'm Southern or something. I don't know where that came from. Okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to put our... I'm a teacher. I'm such a teacher. We're going to put our thinking caps. We're going to think about it for a second. Close your eyes. I want you to just remember back yourself when you first got saved or when you first committed yourself to the Lord, however long ago or short time ago that was. Think about your condition, how you were when you first started your walk with the Lord. And compare that, think about that version of you, compare that to yourself today. And so in between those two things, there's a little bit of a journey, even if it's a short time. And for sure there's growth in there. For sure there's lessons. I want you to think about what were those things that pushed you or gave you opportunity to grow and to mature in the Lord. Think about what it was that got you from where you were when you first started your walk with the Lord to where you are today. Was it purely encounters with God and the Holy Spirit? Was it purely reading the Word of God? Was it maybe reading other anointed books? Going to a church and hearing a pastor preach and sitting under, teaching? Was it people? Maybe specific faces come to mind of people that prayed for you, people that walked with you, people that called you and checked up on you. Or people that simply lived their faith and their walk with the Lord in front of you, and you were influenced by that. I'm convinced that probably the majority of you, I'll ask you a question. So how many of you maybe a percentage or a large amount of what you thought about that caused that growth and that maturity involved people? Involved, like, specific faces came to mind, right? Yeah, because the Lord uses people. Iron sharpens iron. I have a new friend. She's consistent, helpful, knowledgeable, and she can even tell a pretty good joke. She's usually the first person I talk to each morning. Alexa, set a timer for 3 minutes. Every day, she faithfully tells me when my tea is perfectly brewed and ready. She's never once forgotten to remind me. After that, we talk throughout the day. Alexa, what's the date? Alexa, what's the capital of Nebraska? Alexa, what's the temperature outside? In the age of Amazon's Alexa, or iPhone's Siri, if you're an iPhone user, information is readily available. She can remember the name of the actor in my favorite movie, She can show me how to make a perfect pie crust. She can tell me the date of the moon landing. Alexa is always there, always ready, and always listening, which admittedly is a little disconcerting, right? However, while I may turn to her for knowledge, I know that she's not actually my friend. She's present in my home, but can never really be present in my life. In our digital age, it's helpful to remember the importance of real life relationship and the benefits of older believers in the faith who can offer us wisdom, presence, and a heart-filled pursuit. We may love the convenience of Alexa or Siri, but we deeply need the care of spiritual mentoring, otherwise known as discipleship. We need so much more than just answers, just facts, just information, just reminders, or just that availability at, you know, I mean, you could ask Siri, Alexa information at, she's available, right? She's always there, like we just read. At 2 a.m, you know. But we need, for our growth and our maturity, and let's just face it, we're always growing, we're always maturing in the Lord until the day we see him face to face, right? So there's always room for growth and more maturity in our walk with him. There's some ingredients, and also, at the same time, they're ingredients for discipleship, and they're the rich benefits of discipleship, what we reap. Presence, a physical presence, a eye-to-eye, face-to-face presence, not just answers. We need people physically present in our lives, wouldn't you say? Right? Amen. I gave Loretta a hug, and I said, wow, you're such a good hugger. And she said, I love tight hugs, you know, bear hugs. We need each other. We need to feel that affection between one another and look one another in the eye and smile. We need to see how people model their walk of going through situations in their life and allowing us to see and learn from that. We need people that are present with us and that are invested in us. A biblical example of this, who better than Jesus, right? We see this. Jesus invested, hung out with, was with his people, was with his 12 disciples, and he particularly poured into 3. Having called his men, Jesus made a practice. I mean, it was a regular thing to be with them. No fancy training, right, or program or classes, but just letting, it was very simple, just letting his disciples follow him. They were with him. He brought them along in what he did, sometimes to pray. He did that alone also as he sought the Father, but he brought them along, taught them to pray. They ate together, and you can see these, you know, go through the scriptures and you see Jesus pouring into and sharing with his life with the disciples. They fished together, they traveled together, they ministered together, and there was so much life teaching and lessons that were gained by the disciples through that exchange, right? Through that discipleship. Another biblical example is Elizabeth. Elizabeth was in her old age, right, when she conceived, and she was carrying John. And though she was pregnant at the same time, she took, who did she take under her wing? Who was her disciple? Mary, right? She took on that role of encouraging Mary, who was younger in age and younger probably in her walk with the Lord, right? So we need presence, number 2. And there's probably many other things that we need and also benefit from. Discipleship, relationship, is wisdom. Wisdom, not just information, but wisdom. We need a guide. We need to look at someone who has walked through a variety of life experiences that can share and pour wisdom on us. Do you want me to just use this? Okay. Well, I'll just leave that. Wisdom. They can pour wisdom into us. Titus 2. This is a really good discipleship. As I began to dissect this Titus 2 verses 1 through 5 really show us, it kind of describes for us a discipleship and how that looks. And this is, Paul was writing this, right? He wrote this to Titus, who was the pastor or, you know, the leader. And he's giving this directive, these directions to Titus. And he starts by saying, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Talking to the leader of the church. Teach your people, right, what is appropriate to sound doctrine. And he's saying this, and then in number two, verse two, it tells us who specifically, what people, teach what people. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Okay, so he's giving these directives to the pastor. Paul wrote this, yes, to Titus, the pastor, the church leader, to give, to teach and lead his leaders in the way they should go. The older, more mature in their walk, and maybe they're older in years as well, men and women, okay? And then it says, then they, the older men or more mature men and women, can urge the younger. It specifically goes back to, or speaking about the women now, verse 4. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. So this ministry of this discipleship relationship, the older, more mature men and women of God pouring into the younger, I guess, less mature, just who have less time walking with the Lord, it's meant to take place under leadership, right? Under the oversight and in the context of sound teaching, sound doctrine, and like covenant community life. And it also, this Titus 2 here, these verses that we read, it describes our calling to be life givers. We are to pour life into others. We are to teach, not just, I mean, there's so many things that are listed there between the things that are listed for the men and things that listed for the women. We are to share our lives and train them how to apply the word in all of life. Whatever category, right, I put myself in, or we can put ourselves in, they need godly men and women who prayerfully and continually point them or us to the sufficiency of Scripture, like how we stand on Scripture when some things, situations, and circumstances are maybe shaky around us, like we're living in a difficult, unprecedented time, right? And we can learn that from each other. And how Scripture can transform us, how it can hold us up, all these things, how to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. So, so important, you know? And maybe those things aren't listed there in that Titus 2, but I think the idea is like laying the groundwork, but wouldn't the Lord want us to teach all of those things, not just the practical things of life, but also how to live in the power of the resurrection power of Jesus, right? Jesus certainly taught and trained his disciples in that. And this Titus 2 also, it's a fathering and a mothering, it shows us this fathering and mothering ministry. And let's face it, we're all called to that. Whatever position, it doesn't really matter about your age, but we should all see ourselves as a son or daughter that can receive from a spiritual mentor, a spiritual discipler who's walked longer with the Lord than we have. And we should, when we reach a certain level of breakthrough in our lives and maturity, we should then be in a double position of continuing to receive from my spiritual mother and father. And at the same time, I'm also begin to, and you know, as they're pouring into me, and I'll use my own life, you know, Pastor Karen and Pastor Harley pour into me, invest in me. And I've had many spiritual, mentors in my time. And I'm going to tell you a specific story about a certain experience that I had with one that trained me. And I began to realize, it just happened naturally, like God just releases, okay, now you begin to pour out to others. And so some of us will be in both positions where you are receiving. We need to be discipled. Under authority and leadership of someone. And also at the same time, we are called to multiply, right? To multiply ourselves, to pour out into others. And it's a beautiful thing that happens. And sometimes we get a little fearful, especially about being a spiritual mother and father, like, oh my gosh, like, do I have what it takes? Like, we kind of, maybe underqualify ourselves sometimes. And Paul gives us a reassurance, I think, there further down in Titus 2, verses 13 and 14. He assures us that it's the gospel's power that does it. And that just takes a load off me. Hey, it's the gospel in you. You don't have to do it. If you're following Jesus, then Jesus is equipped you, and he lives inside of you to be able to give out to others. And it's maybe a little challenging at times, but it's so beautiful. And you, as you are pouring into someone else, you receive so much more. I got away from that, but verses 13 and 14, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We want to be zealous for good works because Jesus lives inside of us and he gives us the power and the ability to share, to pray for somebody else, to freely you have received, freely give to others. So Jesus is redeeming and purifying his people. And guess what? Church, he wants to use you to do that, to be involved in that. He wants to include you. So we at my father's house, we are called to be in this mothering and fathering ministry, and also what would be the sonship or the daughtership ministry. And so we are receiving, we're giving, and we're receiving. And the Lord is really focusing us in this time on our mission, on our heart, which is to multiply ourselves into others. And how are we doing that? How are we doing? Because it's not, it's the Great Commission, Matthew 28. It's the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. Like, maybe we should do this. It's the Great Commission. It's a commandment. So it's good for us every once in a while, personally and corporately, to reflect, how are we doing? How are we doing at this? I wanted to share an example when I was thinking about, discipleship in my own life in YWAM when I lived with, I was living in Argentina with the ministry, Youth with a Mission that we call YWAM. And YWAM Argentina specifically has a very strong, they're known for their discipleship aspect. It's just a value that they have. I didn't know that when I was going there. Like, what am I signing up for? Boot camp. But, the title of this message is Gleaning Gold. Gleaning Gold, the value of discipleship. So sometimes maybe I felt like that gold purifying process was happening. But the fruits, the benefits that come out of it are really precious, precious like gold. So I remember this time that I had the discipler at the time, my mentor, she taught me, she instructed me when I had an obstacle. I received a word from the Lord to go to Brazil with an outreach team, and there was a small team of us that was getting organized to go to Brazil. And sometimes that can be a little bit challenging for people from the United States with visas and stuff. I went down to the U.S. Embassy for Brazil in Argentina, and I think I made a mistake. I was trying to remember all the details of this, but whatever happened, and they told me no. Because I checked the wrong box, tourism, or I don't know what happened exactly. The bottom line is I got rejected. I left, I came home, I told Viviana, who was my mentor, my discipler. And so I was like, so that's it. I guess I'm not going to Brazil. And she just looked at me like, wait, what? you're just gonna take no as an answer? And I was like, well, they told me no. I mean, what else can I do? And she said, well, what did God tell you? And I said, I said the word. And she said, well, you just march yourself right upstairs and you get in your prayer closet and you figure that out with God because he told you. So the thing has to, the embassy, the visa thing has to work itself out because God spoke that to you. And I'm just like, probably my mouth dropped open like, what? So I obeyed. That wasn't natural. It was the first time that somebody was teaching me to push through, like with prayer, use prayer and God's spoken rhema word to me that I was going to Brazil as a weapon and fight for what was mine, right? And so I'm like, okay, I don't know. And so I did. I did what she said. And the Lord spoke a word out of Isaiah about he will make streams in the desert land, like way in the he's going to be a waymaker and open streams in the desert land. And so I went back and I said, well, this is what God said when I told him, here's what's going on, God. Like, what do I do now? And she said, okay. So you march yourself with that word back to the embassy and you ask them for whatever, like ask them for another chance. I can't remember. I don't know if she went with me or maybe she went with me, but I got pretty familiar with the guard, like the security guard at the embassy who was guarding the elevator from the bottom floor up. And he's like, oh, you're back. And I said, yes, I am. And then I came back like two and three times after that as well. And so I went and I, asked for another opportunity, filled out the form again. And they looked at me like, oh, you're back. And the person that was attending to me went away and, was talking to the supervisor. And all during, I think I was talking out loud and praying, and I was saying, God, you make ways in way, you open ways in the desert land, streams in the wasteland. You told me I'm going to Brazil. You told me, and I was like hearing Viviana's voice, like, come on, be strong. That's what the Lord spoke to you. And through a series of visits back and forth to the embassy, and the guard would say, oh, it's you again. Yes, it's me again. I'm back and I'm getting this visa. I got it. And I went on the trip to Brazil. But it was such a rich experience because I didn't know what to do. I was just going to receive the no and be done with it. And Viviana taught me. And I think she had probably modeled that for me in her own life. And I had watched her push through with the word of God, with the written word of God and the rhema word of God, push through to receive what God has promised you. And so that was just one of many, mentoring, discipling, or discipleship experiences that I could share with you. Okay, let's move on. The heart-filled pursuit is another one, not just being available. Like, right, we talked about this. Alexa is always available, but a heart-filled pursuit. Because more than needing my, discipler to be able to tell me information, regurgitate information, or play my favorite song for me, do they notice, a person more than Alexa would notice, like, hey, she hasn't shown up for 3 weeks in a row at cell group, or She left the service filled with tears in her eyes. Alexa doesn't know those things. It's a heartfelt, you open your heart to another person and you allow the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit to move you when to reach out, when there's a need, when there's a need for prayer, and give accountability as well. I also remember, you know, times with Viviana where she would tell me stuff and I went away mad. Like mad, like who is she to tell me? Like she was marking stuff in my life, you know, like, and then I got with God and he's like, well, she's kind of right. You might, you know, you kind of need to listen to her. She's your leader and I put her over you for a reason, but she was a fiery personality and she kind of intimidated me, to be truthful. And, but she was just such a blessing. When I think about that now, it was like, I needed to be told, I needed to be put in my place a little bit, maybe sometimes. That heart-filled pursuit, because she always did it in love. She like, I didn't think so at the time, but like, who is she to tell me that, you know? But she did it in love. She did it because she loved me. And I know there's, you know, scriptures in about God's discipline and spiritual mothering and fathering sometimes involves that discipline. Jesus, another example of this, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, right? He was humbling himself and he says, I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. That's in John 13, verse 5. Jesus showed his disciples, he modeled things. He modeled that humility in front of them and said, I've set an example, so you should follow my example, basically. He modeled prayer, using scriptures in his daily life, how to win souls, how to get people healed, set free, delivered. And I love in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, I love how Paul describes, there's a description here of discipleship. He's writing a letter, right, to the Thessalonica church, Thessalonians. And he says, 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8, and then also 11 and 12. It says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. That's a close intimacy, right? A mother nursing her child. That's how we cared for you, because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Like, I'm not only just sharing this, but I'm sharing my heart, I'm sharing my life with someone, which God asks us to do. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So verse 12, it tells you, well, how do I do this? What do I do? Encourage, comfort, and urge to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And so that, I thought, when I was studying that verse, I thought, well, that's a perfect segue to introduce one of my disciples, Tanya, who's gonna, I asked her to just share a few minutes about the value of discipleship in her life. And really, this isn't about like, praise Sarah moment or anything, because I poured into her, but it's just an example of many probably that we, you know, others that we have in the church of people being discipled and growing and then turning around and discipling others. So take it away, Tanya.
Thank you. Thank you. A lot of you know my story. I had a come to Jesus moment in 2015. Even though I was in the church for 50 years. And when I did that, I realized I needed more. I needed more than what I got sitting in the pew where I was at. So a bridge from church to becoming a disciple maker. God's given us a way. He's given us that bridge. And it's disciples. It's becoming a disciple. So I started searching for deeper knowledge of the Lord, and a hunger started in me that needed to be fed. Like, I didn't know what that word was for a long time, but that insatiable need to know more just became so real. Jesus gives us that as a gift, and I'm so grateful for that gift. So, of course, he led me to my father's house, and won't go into that story, but it took three times before I arrived here. So thank God he brought me here. The Lord drew Sarah and I closer together, just naturally. It just happened. I don't know, that young girl across the room looked like somebody that wouldn't judge me for not knowing something. Maybe she didn't know it as well. I don't know. But as I surrendered my life to Christ, Sarah was there to guide me with love and scripture and lots of patience. Lots. She made herself available to me and patiently answered all of my questions, no matter what time of day, no matter what time of night, no matter how silly they sounded, no matter how dumb I felt asking a question like that after sitting in church for 50 years, she was there to answer it. She also lovingly, I point that out, corrected me when I was wrong or misguided. I had a lot of misguided religious thoughts that took a lot of love to switch that around. And I'm so grateful for her time. Anyways, there was plenty of that. So I began to get roots in the Word like I had never had before. Never. It was so exciting. And meanwhile, a friendship started to grow. Not a normal friendship like I've had in the past. I have lots of friends that I've met and I meet and go shop or have a coffee, and then I don't talk to them for weeks or months or years. This was a different kind of friendship. It was a very special relationship, even though we're at different seasons in our lives. I'm gray-haired, she's not. I have three kids fully grown, she's waiting for her first. But we're completely different places in lives, but the Lord put us together to be helpmates in life. Because I've been helping her to understand the children will come. They will come. Enjoy this time that you have right now before they come. Being a couple. But we're guiding each other. Her guiding me spiritually, me guiding her in just life, because I've lived that part. So gifts began to grow inside of me and to form. And I was so excited because I had someone to go and say, guess what God did for me today? You don't know how many phone calls she's had like that. Nobody else would listen. My husband's like, boop. Sarah listened. Oh, guess what he did today through me? Oh my gosh. And so I'm so grateful there was somebody that I could call and do that. I mean, I'd be home from coming home from Revive outings everywhere, calling her all the time. If she didn't know, we would ask the pastor together on anything that I would tell her. What about this? What happened with that? And she'd be like, I'm not sure. Let's go ask the pastors. So both of us were learning together and growing even closer. So this last year, a shift has started happening, and I started feeling like I have arrived. Here I am. I'm pulling into the station. My focus changed from learning for me, myself, and I, to learning for others. How do I share what I have learned from her with other people? I got to leave the station. I'm so excited for this transformation that Jesus has done in me, and I want others to experience the same thing. This natural progression has been very organic and not forced. God has done it all. It wasn't Sarah. It wasn't Tanya. It was Jesus in me, willing. Yes. Jesus, a pastor said a few weeks ago that the job of surrender is ours. The job of transformation is God's. So this is truly what happened in my life, but now will happen in others' lives as well. So as I have surrendered myself to being willing to come alongside of other believers, God has done the transformational work and changed me from a church sitter to a disciple maker and also an evangelist, because I must tell other in my excitement. When I am so filled with excitement that I want to tell Sarah, now I want to tell everybody else. Look out. So all I had to do was simply surrender to the Lord Jesus. So please take out a pen. I want you to write these few points down. Here's what it takes. We must be willing. That's it. Be willing. Be teachable. That's what everyone has told me from 2015 on. You are a sponge, girl. You just want to know it all. You want to understand it. You want to do it so you can do it. You want to soak it up so you can squeeze it out. So you must be willing, you must be teachable, and you must become available. Whatever that looks like in your life, be available. Those three things are surrender. When we surrender, that's our job. So these three things are your job. That's why I had you write it down. And then what's going to happen? You're going to be transformed because you will be changed. You will be. And you will be used by God, which was my goal from the time I was 5 years old on. But I never knew how to get there. No one ever told me how. No one ever showed me how to drive the train. I couldn't get to the station, but I'm there now, and I'm pulling back out, and I've got cars behind me. Ooh, that was good. That just came. So I have one image for you, and I want you to picture myself here as a dried up plant. You know, the one sitting on your windowsill that's kind of hanging out, drying off, yellow spots, dying, not looking too good, moldy soil. Okay, that was me at 50 years old. I was struggling to keep alive. The Lord planted me here at MFH, and he watered me with the Holy Spirit that I knew nothing about before I came here. Sarah pruned me, and she gave me fresh dirt. And the Lord gave me deeper roots where I am now planted. Now, green shoots are coming off of me and growing into beautiful plants as well. You can see it, right? Don't think about a spider, but a spider plant shoots out that little thing, right? You can see it, and it's hanging there, and it's just a baby, but it's growing. And this is what I see in my people. God is good. Thank you, Jesus.
So awesome. She's always been like a sponge. I said, you were easy. She would, I mean, it was just easy. Hard when she asked me hard questions that I didn't know. Praise the Lord. So good. Okay, I have a little clip and then I will close. I know it's getting late and maybe your bellies are rumbling for lunch. So check out this clip. This was an image. You know, this kind of an image popped into my head earlier this week, thinking about discipleship. And I thought, this is kind of what it's like in my, how I see things. So. Isn't that beautiful? So beautiful. I mean, you could see him from the beginning. He was beginning to stagger. And sometimes we have moments in our life that maybe we feel like that. And, you know, they were on the same team. And his teammate came by and saw him. You saw the other guy just went by. I mean, he was on a different team. But, he could have stopped and helped. He went on by. This guy took him by the arm. And he was still, this guy was still... you could still see the desire. Like, he's still moving his legs, and he wants to get there too. We're all running the race with Jesus, but sometimes we need help. And really all the time in our lives, we need help, you know, whether it's, you know, this kind of a desperate situation or just, I would be so much richer, and I am so much richer for the times and those experiences of brothers and sisters coming alongside of me and walking. Like, I'm in it with you, God didn't create us to be lone rangers. He created us and put us in community to help each other, to bless each other and say, we're going to get to the finish line together. I'm going to help you and we're going to go together. And that, you know, that runner sacrificed his own best time, you know, maybe his record, and slowed down to help the other one. And together they got across. So I just want to encourage us that together we are better. Like together we are stronger. And so let's do this together. Whatever role you see yourself in, if you're, you know, a newer believer, you know, I just encourage you to open your heart. It's a place of humility to say, I need help, or just, I want to learn from you. You know, I've been thinking a lot about setting goals. We set a goal to pay off our mortgage, and we worked on it faithfully, chipped away at it every week, right? And checked in with our progress, and then we met the goal little by little, right? And so make a goal. If you have goals in your life or things, that areas that you want to grow and mature in, ask the Lord, who can help me? Who can come alongside of me and pour into me? So for those, you know, if you see yourself in that position, and really we all are growing and maturing, so, and we all should be discipled, right? So one, don't be afraid to make a goal and work toward it, like I said. And to humbly ask for help. And if you see yourself also, maybe you're in double position where you're, you know, we're all receiving and can be mentored and discipled and learn something from another more mature believer. For those older or more mature people that have walked longer with the Lord, I say to you, don't let like high expectations discourage you, because that's exactly why we need you, because maybe our expectations are way off and we need you. We need to learn and be kind of recalibrated in some things, right? And also, you don't have to sign your life away. It's not a, you know, I think an obstacle sometimes that maybe blocks us from being more open to discipling and pouring into somebody else is time. And I hear my own self say that, oh, I'm so busy. But it hurts my heart when I hear myself or thinking that way of like, I don't have time, because this is so in my heart that I need to make time. Help me, Jesus, that I can, and you can give me your creativity, that with what I'm already doing, I can open my heart to someone and always have time. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, God did something special with Tanya and I, and I have spent a lot of time, you know, with her on the phone and pouring into her. But it could also be the time that you have to give, even if that's 1 hour phone call once a week or once a month, you know, and then you see them in church, you pray for them. How can I, you know, little ways. So we shouldn't be, you know, no, you know, I can't do this because I don't have time. But I challenge each of us to ask the Lord, you know, because it is his commandment that we're making, not converts, making disciples. How can I make disciples? And who do you have for me to pour into? If you are, you know, have been walking longer with the Lord, and if you're a newer believer, and all of us, you know, I say newer believer, but also, like I said, all of us can learn and grow from someone. Who do you have to pour into me, Lord, and position me with, you know, with those people? So I'll say it again. We are at MFH. We are called to both give and to receive in this fathering and mothering ministry. So let's get on board and help each other get to the finish line. We know we have the victory in Jesus, but we can be so much stronger when we do that together. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I thank you, Lord. You are so good. I thank you that you, first and foremost, you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you disciple us. God, you pour so much into us, and I thank you I thank you for that. I thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your patience with us, Father, with me in my life, all that you've poured into me. And I thank you, Father, that you haven't set up things for me to just be out on my own. Father, that you have used relationships, people, to precious people, precious brothers and sisters to pour into my life. Father, it's been so rich, and I ask your blessing upon each one of them, whether their influence was small or great, whether they even realized they were discipling me or not. So thank you, Jesus. And I just ask that as the body, as your body at my Father's house, that you would help us, Holy Spirit, that you would just breathe life on this message in our hearts, that discipleship, pouring into, investing our lives in others is close to your heart. It's your plan. It's how you set up for your kingdom to be extended on this earth, because Jesus, you are coming back and the time is getting near, and we want to take more people with us that love you and that understand what it is to follow you. So use our lives. We surrender to you. We surrender to you, and help us to receive fathering and mothering from those people that you've placed in our lives. And Lord, for the ones that feel like, I don't have anyone, I don't know, Father, would you show them, Holy Spirit? Would you just put someone's face to mind, bring that to mind, and bring those relationships up, and give us courage to ask for help, to ask to be discipled, Father, because I believe that is your heart. That is your plan for us to learn and grow together. And so I just ask your blessing on each one. You're so awesome, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.